Wow, this is something. Baltimore is my hometown, and I'm actually in the D.C. area. I came in tonight, so I'll be here for business tomorrow. And first off, I guess I ought to thank you guys, because this is kind of like therapy that you don't have to pay for, right? I'll pull out the insurance card. So before I do this, I'm going to look around just to make sure she's not out here, because this can be very, you know, when you put yourself out there, this can be kind of difficult, right? So you can see I'm still stymied by this whole experience, trying to bring it back. This happened several years ago. I was in high school. She was in junior or middle school. And before you say, wait a minute, I thought you said your name was Daryl, not Lester. Lester, child. Okay, you know where I'm going. Anyway, she was younger. She was a friend of my brother Derek's. And I remember her coming over to my house to visit Derek. And you ever get that feeling? Her name was Dee, by the way. And you ever get that feeling that you're doing something and you feel somebody watching you and you turn around and they're not looking at you? That was Dee. Let me describe Dee. Dee was like a what do you call those little noodles? A noodle bean. I'm thinking like a Thai restaurant, that little white strand. What do you call those things? Bean sprout. That's what it was. I told you, it rocked me. It kind of shook me a bit, right? So she was like a bean sprout, maybe about 5'9", lanky. The kids called her Crusty because her lips were chapped all the time. You know how mean kids could be. I never called her that, but the kids called her that her age. And her and my brother were really good friends. They were in band together, and they came over and played. And she would always be like, and wherever I was, I'd turn around, and there was Dee. And it got to be annoying. I mean, she was a good kid, but I had nothing for Dee. And every time I turned around, she claimed she had nothing for me. But word got around that Dee liked me. And my brother and I was really into bike riding. I mean, at the time, you know, I had bought this brand new bike back in the day. It was called the Free Spirit, 27-inch men's bike. You all know what a Free Spirit? Yeah. This was a maroon Free Spirit bike. I mean, I literally had to, like, walk up steps, like three steps to jump on it and ride it. It was a men's bike. I like the word men's bike, even though I was, you know, like I said, about in 10th grade. And I have to tell you, I come from a large family. I'm the oldest of seven, right? And my parents are very conservative, very strict, very protective. And so I'm out riding up and down the street, you know. I'd have to go from Mr. Claiborne's house to Miss Diane's house. We're talking about a whole 75 yards from about here to there, along with my brothers and sisters who were riding the big wheels, right, because they were a lot younger than me. And the neighbors would look at me like, we knew there was something wrong with that boy as I'm riding my Free Spirit back and forth. But anyway, Dee would come over, and she would notice that I was always riding my bike, and she'd say, Mr. and Mrs. Klanger, can Daryl come out and ride in the streets with me and my sister? You know, Dee and Cheryl, her younger sister. And I'm sitting there thinking, I like that, because Dee is going to persuade my parents to go out and ride my bike in the street like all the other big kids, and all the neighbors won't stare at me. So with my 27-inch Free Spirit, man's bike. So I'm sitting there, and my parents would say no. Can you imagine how embarrassed I am? I mean, Dee's like a few years younger than me. She's in middle school, and I can't ride my bike out in the street with her. So I'm feeling very, you know, very bad about this. And I'm just feeling like her utility. Finally, she does something that, you know, is worth my time. You know, she's going to ask for me to ride bikes, and I can't do that, you know. So all of a sudden, you know, I fast forward. You know, years go by. My brother, remember I told you he was in band? He happens to be performing at his high school reunion. And I say, wow, I know a lot of people there, you know, and I'd like to go check this out. And there are a lot of notables at my high school, very famous people. You guys have heard of the comic Monique. You guys have heard of Mesa Leek, who played with Incognito, the big jazz band, and things like that. And my brother played, you know, with Mesa. I didn't know it was the same Mesa. So anyway, we're at this high school reunion. And, you know, it's kind of dark like this, real nice place. It was actually, I guess it's called Martin's West, you know, so we're hanging out there. And I'm looking at the bandstand where my brother is in Mesa, and I see this other woman real close up to him, like the shadow of a woman, just a sexy silhouette. And there are a few sexy silhouettes there. You know how it is. You go back to high school after a while. And so I'm sitting there, and afterwards I walk up to say hello to my brother. But on my way, I happen to, shall we say, bump upon one of these sexy silhouettes. And I look, and I turn and look at my brother, and I look at the sexy silhouette who's looking in my brother's direction. And I turn to my brother, and I'm right there, so it's only proper to say something, right? And so I introduce myself. She turns around. Yeah, Daryl. And I'm like, D? You've been drinking milk, haven't you? Damn. And it just came out so naturally. You know, it really came out naturally like an idiot. It just flowed out of my mouth. You've been drinking milk. And D, if I said that she was a knockout, it would be the lowest understatement I could ever put forth. So what happened is that, you know, she's sweet as ever. Hey, Daryl, it's so good to see you. And I'm talking to my brother, Derek, I'll talk to you after the set. Keep playing, you know. And D and I talk, and we get reacquainted and all. And I just keep looking at her, and I can't believe it, you know. I look like the kind of guys that most women say, I don't want to be bothered with, because I'm looking up and down. I can't believe it, you know, and I'm just sitting there. And so funny thing is, after the reunion, D and I have become very well acquainted, and I feel so comfortable, so good. She actually came up from Atlanta with a girlfriend of hers who happened to be dating one of my old best buddies from high school. And so we all decide to go out for dinner or breakfast, whatever you call it, at 2:30 in the morning. And we're all sitting together, and it just so happens that in this diner, D would sit next to me. Her girlfriend would sit next to my buddy. Really late, we have a great time laughing and talking. My buddy and his girl walk off somewhere. It's just me and D. Kind of awkward, but nice, if you know what I mean, right? And I'm sitting there, where do I go? And I'm wondering and trying to think back, did I ever do anything wrong to D? And I'm thinking, you know, because you want to be prepared in case she brings it up. You know, women can do that from time to time, you know. And I couldn't think of anything wrong. And so I knew it was that awkward hour because we're sitting there. The friends have been gone for an hour and a half, and we're still at the diner. And by now it must be like 3:30, and Dee says, well, Daryl, you know, I've got a busy day tomorrow. I know you do too, and you've got a long drive. Tell you what, I don't feel right with you driving home. No, D, I can handle it. I can handle it, you know. I can handle it. I can go home, you know. No, really, Daryl, seriously, I would feel wrong if something happened to you. Why don't you stay? I happen to get a hotel. I have a hotel around the corner. And my girlfriend, it looks like she's going to be occupied tonight, so I think that, you know, you'll be safe. The room will be there. If you want to come, you're more than welcome to come. No pressure. And I'm sitting here. This is a foul joke, isn't it? Something's going to happen. This is just too good to be true. So we get back to the room. We're talking. We're laughing. You know, I think we even held hands. We're hugging. But it's kind of like that amorphous kind of hug, whatever that means. We're hugging. But it feels good. We walk back to the room. And it's really time to go to bed. We have just talked each other to death. I think the sun's about to come up. And we need at least a couple hours sleep. So she stands up by the mirror here. Sexy silhouette, just beautiful, stands up by the mirror, and she starts getting undressed. And I start sweating because I didn't expect anything to go so good. And she starts, first comes the necklace, and I'm thinking, oh, no, she's just, you know, maybe she's going to take this off because she doesn't want her jewelry to get lost in the bathroom there, and so she's going to get some things undressed and walk in. Then comes the blouse. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, just so she knows that I'm still there. I'm like a few feet behind. And she says, yeah, I know you're there. I know you're there. And I say, well, D, you know, and I really couldn't say anything. I mean, I was just like shocked. I mean, just no words. No, I'm just sitting there looking, and everything comes off. She's down to the bra and the panties, and she says, I'm going to go take a shower. So I'm sitting there thinking, now, what should I do? Now, you got to remember, D, you know, I've known her for years, even though we've been apart for years, right? And my parents know her, my brothers and sisters know her. I mean, just the whole thing. And I'm thinking about consequences. I'm thinking about where I am now. What would she think? What her parents think of me? I mean, there's just the whole thing. So Dee comes back out. She turns out the light. I feign like I'm asleep in the bed. Come on, y'all. Give me a little respect. Come on. I'm trying to be a gentleman, okay? So I feign like I'm asleep in a bed. Now, one little thing I forgot to tell you is that it's a small room and there are two beds next to each other. I'm hoping, what bed do you think I'm hoping she's going to come to, right? She gets very close to my bed. I can hear her breathing as she comes close. I mean, that's how close she comes. I think she's going to get here any second now. D comes over to the bed and then she just sits on the opposite bed right next to me. I'm here. She's right there. And I'm thinking, you know, now this is that cross point, that crux, you know, where you got to figure out, do you make a move, Daryl? I mean, she has made her move. I mean, didn't she? Didn't she really make her move undressing in front of me, teasing me in front of the mirror while I'm sitting there sweating? And I know she saw me sweating. She could probably smell me sweating. So she's pretty much put herself out there. Isn't it my turn to extend myself? And I'm thinking there, you know, I'm kind of on, you know, I'm on the edge, guys, and I'm sitting here. And so I say, you know what? And I'm rationalizing. It seemed like it was hours. I'm sitting here rationalizing. And I said, you know what? But she's my friend, so I really can't go wrong, right? We've known each other for years. So I say, Dee, my voice is like 15 octaves higher. Dee, you know, you're welcome to come over here if you wish. And it's just silence for a while. And I'll never forget what she told me and what she said, and it changed me. It really did. She turned around and gave me the sexiest little smile, and I'm thinking, it's on. And she said, you know, Daryl, we've known each other forever. I mean, you know my parents. I know your parents. You know my sister. I know your brothers and sisters, all five and all six of them. You're like family to me. You're like my brother. I'd never want to mess that up. I was crushed by my crush. That's the end of my story. But we're still friends.